So today I am pumped because we are finally to a series that I've been looking forward to for several weeks. Actually, last couple months, I think, at least a month and a half, I've known that we're going to talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's all throughout the Bible, the New Testament, so many times. We see this even 126 times that the word for kingdom or reign or rule is present. But the kingdom of God is not about a church, our own kingdom here. I mentioned the CMN conference, Church Multiplication Network conference, and the theme over and over and over again was, if we are trying to build our own kingdoms, whether it be church planners or whether it be you with your own house and your family, if we're trying to build our own little kingdom, we're in trouble. Because God, I don't want to speak anything, but God's not all that concerned about our personal kingdom. Now, he wants to be with us, and he wants us to be spirit-led, but he's all about his kingdom, the kingdom of God being proclaimed, his word being proclaimed and poured out upon the earth. When we think of the kingdom, we can think of God moving. We can think of Jesus. We'll jump right today to Jesus. I think Jesus coming to earth was a pretty big moment in the kingdom of God. It was a pretty big moment that he lived a sinless, perfect life, and then was willing to be sacrificed on a tree, even beyond his own desire. He said, Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will. Your will be done. And Jesus went to the cross. He died on a cross, but thankfully, he didn't stay there or in the grave. He didn't stay in the grave or the cross. Either way, that would have been worthless. But he rose again. He was the sacrifice. And then he did this amazing thing, sent the Holy Spirit. Anytime that Jesus tells you, wait on the Holy Spirit and you are going to do even greater things than I have done, when Jesus says words like that, I see Michelle back there, that gets us excited. Does that not get us excited? Like Jesus, the Savior of the universe, our God, our Creator, said, you do greater things than even me. God had put it in motion by his sacrifice, by laying it all down for us. Over the next couple weeks, we're going to go through Matthew 16 and 17, and see how these chapters would relate to the kingdom. But before we jump into the word this morning, as I was preparing for this, something just kind of jumped in my mind. Pastor Rachel and I, a few years ago, we went to Phoenix, Arizona. And we decided that of all the things to do in such a nice, cool climate, it was really, really hot. But we decided we were going to climb this mountain that you could see. It was a mountain. Like, it was legit. And we said, let's climb this thing. So it wasn't like climbing, like, straight up a rock face, but it was kind of where the mountain two parts came together, and you could kind of walk up. Walk is a strong term. But you could make your way up this mountain. It was almost like if your kids are playing in the backyard and there were two high spots and they dumped sand and rock and gravel into this, it kind of filled in this space so you could just walk to the top. As we began going on this journey, we decided, or before we even went, we decided, you know what, I think one bottle of water apiece should be plenty of water. It's only 3 miles there and 3 miles back. I mean, it's going to be not that big a deal. So we start going, and the first mile or even two was pretty good. Like, you could kind of walk. And then we got to a point where, number one, we realized maybe we had made a mistake in water, the amount of water we brought. And number two, maybe we made a mistake just in deciding to climb this thing, like, truthfully, where you could no longer walk, but now you are jumping and making your way from one huge rock surface to another. All of a sudden, we realize this is getting more and more legit, like climbing or making your way, trying not to die, trying not to fall off of things. Like, but we got this. And we plowed ahead. We could do it. It was only 3 miles total one way, so we could make it to the top. And we finally made it. And when we got to the top, it was phenomenal. The view was absolutely beautiful. I believe there at the top, we took the last sip of water that we had. That was not good, but we were really thirsty. I believe that we used all of the nourishment that we had because we were about to die. In fact, at this point, while we were sitting there, our legs are just shaking uncontrollably. We were probably not in a good spot, truthfully, because there weren't a lot of things along the way, like, you know, aid stations. There was zero. There was no water. There was nothing to do. That every once in a while, we would see somebody that looked like they were in similar shape to us. That there wasn't a lot of help that was going to be had. We had one thing we could do, and that was get back to our car somehow. We had to figure out how to get back to our car. And when I think about the kingdom and I think about the already but not yet of his kingdom, I think about times in our life, maybe in your life, I know in my life, when things are super fun and super simple and we just get to kind of walk up the hill. Or maybe it's a little downhill or flat and it's like, this is great. It's like the first 18 miles of a marathon. I can do this. I've got no problem. This is going to be good. But then there's somehow the last 6 or 8 miles of a marathon. There's the return trip from the cool hike up the mountain. There's a moment when you have to decide, am I going to live in what Jesus has done for me? Am I going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, the already that we're going to talk about, of his kingdom? Or am I going to let the not yet portion of his kingdom that we can see anytime by turning on our TV? Are we going to live in the not yet portion of his kingdom? Are we going to live in the hurt and the pain and sometimes that I don't understand why God won't just heal or completely restore? Or I don't understand, even I told that story about the guy who got $4 million. I don't understand why he doesn't just give me $4 million. We can easily find so many things to say, I see God move. I see he's already here. I see his kingdom is already being established. But wow, there's times when it doesn't feel that way, if you're anything like me. And that's what we're going to talk about. That's where we're going to go today and over the next several weeks to see how would God want us to live? How would God want us to move? And who would God want us to be? So we're going to look at the first few verses of Matthew chapter 6. And text, we're just going to go with the first one and then verse 12 today. And I encourage you this week, if you have some time, look into Matthew 16 and Matthew 17. Read the rest of this portion of Scripture. There's so much here that you can read, you can study. You can, if you don't know how to maybe study, you can go online and find some really good resources to help you understand what's going on beyond the norm. But Matthew 16 verse 1 says, "And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven." And verse 12 says, "Then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of the of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And the thing I want to point out here, before we jump in any deeper, is that it says the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus. The Pharisees and Sadducees were not on good terms. They were not like buddies. They didn't love each other. They didn't have the same view of ministry. They didn't have the same view of actually what the kingdom of God was all about. That was not their thing, was to do things together generally. But there's something that happens when the kingdom of God begins to be poured out upon the earth. There's something that happens, we could call it spiritual warfare, that takes place, that all of a sudden, here in verse 1 of chapter 16, we see even the Pharisees and Sadducees would come together to go against Jesus, come together to fight against what he's doing, to come together to try to crush what he was doing. Verse 12. They understood, the disciples, that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And there's a moment when God is being poured out upon the earth. I believe that the more that God shows himself and moves through this church, I believe that the more that the kingdom of God around the earth experiences love and blessing from Radiant Life, guess what? We should expect that the Pharisees and Sadducees are going to come against us. We should expect that there's going to be a battle that has to be waged. Pastor Dave, we were just talking a few minutes ago, and he mentioned that yesterday he led a class at Synergy, our leaders conference for Ohio. And there were almost 800 people at it. It was 880. There we go, almost 900 people that were at it, which is the biggest by far we've ever had. A whole bunch of churches from around Ohio get together. And he said that he led a prayer class and taught people how to pray. And he would teach a few minutes, and they would pray a few minutes. He would teach a few minutes, and he would pray a few minutes. And when we think about the kingdom of God, there's something that we have to understand, which is if we want to be serious about what God is doing and about who he is, we'd better be in prayer. We'd better be asking God for wisdom. We'd better be in this word. We better be reading and understanding the truth of the word. Because if we don't, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and maybe in our day, the media and the political realm, everything would come against the Christian values that our lives and the kingdom is based on, then we're going to fall away if we don't understand that it's leaven. It's no good. It's not true. It's not what the word would say. So I've taken a few minutes here just to bring up the importance of knowing what God is speaking, of knowing of who he is, that it doesn't matter what we talk about the kingdom if we don't know his word, if we're not in tune with his spirit, if we're not in tune with what he would speak, and then not only being in tune, but then acting upon that. If we're not letting his spirit move, how can we be a part of the already? How can we be a part of it, his kingdom being poured out upon the earth? How can we be a part of really reaching or raising our kids for him if we're not actively engaged in knowing who he is and what he's about and actively engaged in even doing what the Turners give their life for, which is take him to the everywhere of life? I mentioned that the term for kingdom or for reign was in the New Testament used 126 times. And I just want to go through a few things of what the kingdom is, what it looks like, and what we find in the Gospels. First, in Matthew, it's used, that term's used 55 times. In Mark, it's used 20. In Luke, it's used 46 times. And if you're interested in Acts, like the cousin of Luke right after, there's another 8 times. In John, there's 5 times. Luke, who wrote both Luke and Acts, just powerful moments when they're talking about the kingdom. But we see in each one of these things that the kingdom is entered. Statistically, this happens most frequently with respects to God's kingdom. It's something that is entered, that someone chooses to go into. This means that we can be in the kingdom, we can be not far from the kingdom, or we can be out of the kingdom. If you can enter it, you don't have to. It's a choice that we have to make. The second most pervasive usage is the kingdom. It can be proclaimed. The kingdom can also be desired. It can be a possession or a gift that one receives. The kingdom can be granted or inherited. The kingdom can be taken from someone. A person can become a disciple for the kingdom, receive the keys to the kingdom, or suffer on account of the kingdom. The kingdom is mysterious. The kingdom, it grows. The kingdom permeates. The kingdom can be found and purchased. The kingdom involves sifting. The kingdom involves settling of accounts. It involves preparation. And the kingdom can also be used as subject of a verse. Thus it comes, draws near, has come upon, is among, and appears to people. The kingdom is so much, and God has so much for us to learn and to grasp and to experience when it comes to the kingdom and what he is doing on the earth today, the already and not yet of his kingdom. Kingdom is a central concern of the Gospels, but I find it interesting that the kingdom doesn't depend for its existence on you and me, just to take some pressure off. Guess what? God, he's pretty great. God's pretty strong. It doesn't rely on us to make it happen. We don't create, build, construct, extend, or render present the kingdom, because it all is from the Lord. It precedes any human response, but it invites a human response. Doesn't have to have us, but the kingdom, our king, wants you and me to be a part of what he is doing. He wants to use you and me. He wants to shine through you and me. Not because it has to. Not because he has to, but because he loves us. And because he's chosen to let you and me be a part of seeing the already of his kingdom proclaimed to our world, spoken in a way that maybe many people around the world have never heard or never experienced. He chooses to use us. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about a few different terms, and I don't normally use large terms, but we're going to talk about eschatology, the part of theology concerned with death, with judgment, with final destiny, kind of the end times. We're going to talk about transcendence, or the experience beyond the normal, Right? Did you know there's something beyond the normal that we get to be a part of, we live in here as a part of his kingdom? There's also something we're going to look a little today, but we're going to look at judgment. Right? There's going to be a moment when there's a judgment that takes place on the earth. There's also a part of the kingdom that involves purity. Another part that involves radiance or light emitted or reflected, that God wants you and me to radiate his kingdom. But this morning, we're going to jump into that first one, and we're going to look at eschatology. We're going to look at the kingdom that is already here, but is also not yet. The already, but not yet, it involves everyone. The already involves every single one of us. When we jump ahead to Matthew 25, I think there's this amazing portion of scripture here in verse 31 that we can begin to look at. And in verse Matthew 25, 31, it says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be separated or be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" He says, "For I was hungry," just skipping through, "I was thirsty, I was a stranger, I was naked, I was sick, I was in prison. Truly, in verse 40, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." As you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. That's one half, but then there's another portion. Verse 41 and following, and he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And I don't know about anybody else, but I do not want any part of that. And I don't want any part of any person on this world experiencing any part of a separation from Jesus and from who he is. And they said, "When? What? Why are we in this group?" Verse 42, "For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I was naked. I was sick. I was prison, and you never gave to me. You never took care of my needs. You never took care of who I was." They asked, "But when? When is it that I didn't do that? When is it that I turned my back on you? When didn't I clothe or feed or take care of you?" Verse 45, he'll say, "Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And I don't know about you, but that tells me that everyone is a part of his kingdom. Everyone is a part, but there's going to be a negative or a positive. There's going to be people that are on one side and another group that are other. There's going to be the sheep and there's going to be the goats. There's going to be those that took care of the poor, that took care of the hurting, took care of those in prison. And there's going to be the group who did not and did not care. They did not care enough to love Jesus by becoming a servant like he came for us. There's an everyone to his kingdom. The everyone requires an engaged church. His kingdom requires us. And when I say the church, just to be clear, Radiant Life for sure, but the church around the world, and we get to be a part of that. It requires an engaged church to go to the lost and to make a difference wherever Jesus is not heard, or wherever Jesus is, but there's people that don't know him. It requires an engaged church to reach out to the everyone of our world so that as few people as possible hear the words, "Go away into eternal punishment." I don't want that to be anything that we have not stopped every person possible, because we have been radiating the power and the love and the kingdom here upon the earth. When Rachel and I were out at the CMN conference, I do not know how this happened, but I somehow ended up in a room with about 15 super high-level Assembly of God leaders, like our general superintendent, or a secretary, Scott Wilson, who's written all these books. We were in his office, a whole bunch of other people that I was like, I do not know why or how I'm in this room, but I'm here. And the conversation was on how we reach unreached people groups. The whole conversation was on the everyone, but the everyone that they don't even have a way to hear the word of God. They can't turn on the radio and hear it. They can't go down to the church because there's no church. They can't grab a Bible because the word of God isn't even in their language yet. And sitting in this 20-minute, it was super fast, but this conversation about the everyone of our world and making a difference, it turned me just a little bit more on fire, if I could be, for those people that are way over there, but also for those people that are right here in our community, who they do not know Jesus, and they're a part of the everyone, that they might have access to him. They might be able to just walk into a church, any many churches, but they haven't, and they won't, unless you and I figure out how to walk in the already of his kingdom, how to walk in his spirit, how to listen to him and reach out and proclaim the goodness of Jesus so that every single person in your office complex, so that every single person where you work, students, so that every single young person where you go to school or your teachers, so they hear the message of the gospel because we're walking in the already of his kingdom, the power of his kingdom and what he wants to do. The already, but not yet. It involves everyone. It takes us everywhere. As we were just saying, it's not something that's only for far away, but it is for every single person all over the world. Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." And I want to see the message of the gospel proclaimed everywhere, just like the word of God has spoken, that everyone could experience the already of the kingdom, so the not yet and the final moment of Jesus returning and of what he has planned for the church, so we get to be a part of it. Revelations 14:6-7 says, "I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come.'" And I want to be a part of the church that proclaims the goodness of his kingdom, proclaims the goodness of who Jesus is, way before this angel has to show up and do it for us. Way before that angel does it in a last moment side kind of thing. But that we get to be a part of proclaiming the goodness and the power of the kingdom of God. That we have the opportunity to walk in and experience every moment of our lives as we're walking with Jesus. The everywhere will take us all. It takes an engaged church. It takes us all to experience and to walk in him and the power of who he is. So we look at closing out this first installment, the already but not yet. It requires emotion. And I was thinking about, and as I was planning and preparing, some of you in this room, right when I say the word emotion, you're like, emotion's not my thing. In fact, you try to live emotionless, or maybe it's just a gift, or I'm on the opposite side. So it's like, emotion's great. I love it. Let's walk in it. But I was praying and thinking, Lord, is this the right word that I want to put on the screen? And I believe that God is talking and has been speaking to me, even in my own life, that there's so much emotion in our life for things that do not matter. There's so much room and there's space, and what we walk in so many times is emotion that maybe is not godly emotion. It might be the emotion that we walk in is anger, or that we walk in is a fearful emotion, something that comes up within you. These things, we need God to help us overcome those things. But when it comes to our world, the church has to get emotional to a point where we care enough to do something with the word of God, with who he is and what he has for us. We've got to get emotional that the kingdom is already here and walking and flowing through each and every one of us. And it is time to not sit idly by. It is time to not say, well, it's going to happen. God's going to do his thing. It's time to get out of our nice homes and our cars. It's time to get out of our own little world and the sports we play or watching our kids and living life through them. It's time to say those things are all fine. And I pray blessing on every one of you. I want you to have all of those things. but it's a time to let our emotion rise up and be the most emotional about the people in our world who do not yet know of the already of his kingdom, don't know Jesus, don't have a way to understand who he is, or maybe they've been hurt, they've been wounded, and you and I are the only thing that's radiating his kingdom. That you and I are all that they're experiencing, all they're seeing, and it's time to get emotional. It's time to care more about the people that don't know him than about my comfort and what I want and my kingdom and my place and my own world. There's so many. We're going to look through several scriptures and just a few. But Matthew 7:21 talks about the not all. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 8:12 says, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Luke 13:28, it says that in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are cast out. In Luke 1:33, he says he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. And I don't know about you, but that means there's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to be on the outside looking in when it comes to the kingdom of God. And it's your and my responsibility to say, Lord, we know you don't have to use us. We know that it's not about us. We know that your kingdom is about you. But Lord, would you radiate off of me? Would you let your light, your power, your motion even flow through me so that I can reach my world with your love and with who you are? Jesus, he wants to use you, and we have to get emotional about the things of God. Pastor Matt, if you could come on back up here. We have to get excited about who he is. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. And amen. And I want every person on the face of the earth to be able to read and experience the goodness of God or hear the goodness of God so they too can say, Lord, I know you're going to rescue me. Lord, I know you're going to be with me. Lord, I know the answer is on its way because I'm standing upon the goodness of your kingdom. I'm standing upon your word that it trumps everything else, that is more powerful, that's sharper, that's clearer, that has the answer for everything in my life. But we have to get emotional about the things of God and decide that it's the most important thing in my life is his word and his kingdom. Because if not, our world, you're going to go to hell. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus doesn't want them to go to hell. And I pray that you and I don't want them to go to hell, which means we have to let his spirit work and flow in us and move in us. In fact, today when I think about this, some of those scriptures talked about people who thought they were going to make it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of our Father. And I want you to know today that we cannot afford to be indifferent towards Jesus and his return. We cannot afford to be indifferent towards the Holy Spirit who makes that return real to us and uses us. We cannot afford to be indifferent towards the resources that God gives us to pour forth his message around the earth. We cannot afford to be indifferent towards the needy people all around us. We can't afford to be indifferent towards lost humanity that will stand in judgment. Our world cannot afford for you and me to sit idly by and be indifferent. And I believe the question today is, are we going to pay the price of indifference? Which sounds pretty terrible. Sounds like the worst thing possible. Are we going to pay the price of emotion? Which, guess what? When we're emotional for the things of God, it's going to cost us. It's going to be something where God doesn't say, you listen and you do what I have and everything's just going to be easy sailing. In fact, I'm just going to be real this morning. The disciples, I think it went really well for them right up until the point that they were all martyred for the things of God. But what happened before they were martyred? They simply changed the world. We were walking in what they did, in the power of his testimony, in the power of his kingdom, because they proclaimed his kingdom to the ends of the earth. And we get to be a part of that. And for most of us in the room today, we don't have the same sort of persecution that the disciples had. But I ask you this morning, are you willing? Are you willing to go through persecution for the sake of the gospel? Are you willing to get emotional and fired up for the things of the gospel? Are you willing to say, Lord, your will, your desire, your love, your truth over anything else that would happen? Because that's what God is asking us to do today. To get fired up, to get emotional. And I mentioned that some of you, when you think of the word emotion, you just say, I'm out. And I believe that over the last few minutes, God is turning your heart. And as I've been preaching, and last night, yesterday morning as I was here, I feel that God has a word for some people in this room. That there's things that have been holding you back because you won't allow emotions to rise up like He created them to rise up in your life. And that He says that if you'll get emotional about the things that I care about, He'll take care of all that other stuff. He'll take care of the things of why those emotions maybe are suppressed in your life. If you get emotional about the kingdom of God, if you get emotional about 100 kids that are on the other side of that wall, if you get emotional and you say they need 4 girls ministry leaders and 4 World Ranger commanders, come on, that's nothing. Let's do it. Let's fill them because those kids are going to be mentored, and they're going to love Jesus for the rest of their life. They're going to turn into missionaries and preachers. They're going to be turned into doctors that use that as their ministry. They're going to fill every role in society as ministers and missionaries of the gospel. Let's get emotional about the things that matter. Let's let God worry about the rest. Let's let God worry about the rest. Young people over here, look at me right here. You, some of you, you're in a tough spot in life, right? You're trying to figure out what life's all about. I mentioned emotions. Some of you have no control over your emotions. So you're like, let's just go with it, right? Well, God wants to use your emotions and turn those emotions into making you soul winners at your school, in your communities, with your friends. God wants to use you. In fact, I think God wants to use you to be an example to your parents, to say, hey, parents, look what we're doing. Let's go. Let's get this going. And I encourage you, let's fill this section on Sunday nights. Let's fill the youth room where we say, I don't know what to do. And we've got a room in here with 800 some, and over there you can put another 900, I think, is what's on the wall. That'd be exciting. Let's do it. Let's get emotional with the things of God. God wants to pour Himself out in this place today. He wants you to be His hands and His feet. And today, if you say, I want to be a part of His kingdom, I want to live in the already of His kingdom, and I'm even willing to get a little bit emotional about it, I encourage you, in a minute, we're going to have you come to the front. But before we do, if you're here today and you say, I'm not emotional about His kingdom, but I'm not even walking in His kingdom. I want to know this Jesus. I want to experience who He is. I want to give my heart to Him, maybe for the very first time in your life. I'm going to encourage you right now, all over this room, can we get emotional about the things of God? And right now, would everybody in this room, would you stand to your feet? And would you make a place in this room an altar? I encourage many of you to come to the front. And if you say, I want to experience God, I want to be used by Him, I want the already of His kingdom to flow through me, and I don't want leaven, I don't want the teachings of the Pharisees to push me down. I don't want what my world would say. In fact, there's some of you that you're on the top of the mountain, like I talked about Rachel and myself being, and you don't know how you're going to get back to your car. You feel like you are beat down. You feel like your muscles won't work anymore. Rachel and I, we started walking down the hill, and by the time we got to the bottom, man, sometimes we would literally, like, I've never had anything like that. It was crazy. But you know what we said? It doesn't matter. We can't stop here. We can't stop on the side of this mountain. We can't stop halfway. We can't stop just where we can see the car. We got to get back to the car because we got to get some water, and we got to get some nourishment, and we got to get some food. And there's moments when we have to simply say, I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I have even experienced in my life. It is time for me to get emotional about the things of God. Lord, right now all over this room, Lord, I pray that you would turn our emotions up for the things of you. Right now in this room, Lord, would you fire us up? Lord, that there's no way we could get out the doors today without knowing that we've experienced you, and not for here, but we've experienced you for out there. We've experienced you so that your word can be proclaimed, so your kingdom can go forth. God, we worship you and we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace today. Lord, I pray that you would turn some people in here who they didn't realize it, but all of a sudden they're missionaries for you. That tomorrow at their work, they have become a missionary for the sake of the gospel. That what Pastor Kay's going to go do on Thursday, we get to do tomorrow, because we get to share you with our world. Lord, would you give us emotions for those that are lost around us? Lord, would you help us even to wake up and not even understand why, but Lord, that we would have emotions. We'd be weeping for the people around us who do not know you. Lord, would you fire us up to really understand we're living in the already of your kingdom, but there's a world who has not experienced it. There's a world that's living in the not yet. There's a world that hasn't and don't know you, and it's our job to radiate the love and the power and the fire of you, Jesus, to our world. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we lift you up. Lord Jesus. I'm just going to say one more time, I feel like there's some folks in the room that you don't want emotion to be a part of anything. And I would beg you, I feel the Lord would almost beg us today, don't miss out on what I'm doing. Don't miss out on what I'm doing. As we fire it up for Jesus, he's going to come. He's going to be your answer. He's going to be your strength. He's going to be your healing. He's going to be your wholeness. But we've got to turn it on for him. We've got to lift up our eyes and see him, and see him in the already, so that we can go into the not yet and proclaim who he is. Let's just give him our worship, our praise. Make this a prayer time as we sing a song here. Let's go after Jesus.